Recording in 3, 2, 1, mark. Good morning. Welcome to the next episode of the Finding Hope podcast. And of course, Scotty is my co-host.
Hello.
And I am the executive producer because I like to give myself a title. And so that's the way that goes. But we have to talk about our subject. I always call you guys victims, but it's nothing painless about it. At least I hope it isn't. And Scotty, would you like to introduce Mike?
This is Mike. He's at one of our men's houses, and he's been with us for about 2.5 years now.
About a little over 2 years.
Yeah, a little over 2 years. And he came to us, and now he's with us, and I'm going to introduce you as Mike. And take her away, Mike.
But before we do this, how did you come to find Rogue Retreat?
That's I was homeless on the street, and I went and down to Rogue Retreat here and signed up to get on their list to get in a shelter. I got in a shelter, was there for about 3 months, and then I got asked or got offered to go to a men's house, and I've been there at the men's house for since March of 2019, and I'm gotten a full-time job. I've saved money up. I've given my driver's license back. I've gotten my kids back in my life. I've gotten connected back with my family. I have almost 4 years clean, and I'm in the process in pursuing to find my own place right as we speak.
Oh, that's tremendous.
And it is, it really is. You know, how did you find your experience getting into that house? Like, you said that you came down here at Rogue Retreat, and you got signed up and registered with us. And how did you find your experience difficult, or was it kind of like a hurry up and wait, or did it teach you patience?
It taught me a lot of patience.
There you go. That's what I expected. Yeah.
Just you have to have some sort of vision on really pursuing what you vision.
Yeah.
And sticking with that and letting the program work for you and using the utilizing what's being offered to you the best that you can and go from there and just day by day and keep doing the next right thing.
Yeah, sweet. That works out good. Do you have any questions for me?
So I do, because you
let me hear it.
You made me, well, you kind of prompted me to think about certain things, because you talked about your family getting back into your life. And if this is too in the weeds and you don't want to talk about it, well, feel free not to talk about it. But I want to give you to find the space where you are and go from there. I'm assuming, let's just say, what caused your family to leave your life and how did they reenter it?
I was with my son's mom for 17 years. There just came to a point where me and her were not seeing eye to eye. And we had separated. And I ended up staying at some friend's house. And my life kind of took a turn from there and ended up on the street, which made me lose contact with my family. And I was addicted to meth.
Okay, that's where I thought we were going to go.
And, yeah, I mentioned that I was almost 4 years clean. And during that time when I was dirty, I was not connected with my family at all. I was just on a survival mode and using drugs and deep into my addiction. And now that I'm not doing that, I've reconnected with my family. And I can't make up for lost time, but I can do right for what's going on now.
Yeah. Moving forward.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's a key thing. And of course, addiction to meth probably led you into all sorts of other bad behaviors and probably had run-ins with the law or not?
Yes, I went to prison. I got out of prison, and that's when I realized that I needed to sign up for Rogue Retreat because I wasn't going to go out on the street anymore. I had some clean time under my belt after being in prison, and I was out on the street for 2 nights, and I realized I can't do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to end up on drugs again. So that's when I went to Rogue Retreat and signed up and kept calling them and bugging them every day. Got in there, and without that and doing that, I wouldn't probably be here today.
No, I'm chuckling because I've been here, and you know this, long enough to where I used to wait in the area where
the receptionist
area, and I'd be there where people would come in, and they'd, like you, they'd go every day, and I was chuckling because I'm thinking, oh, I know that one. Because, I mean, and that's a good thing, because it's better than, you know, not being interested at all. And I know because I've seen the past in other areas where I lived and knew people that I figure was probably meth addiction because that's one of the most,
it is and it isn't.
Well, you know, it's...
Addiction's addiction.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's a different...
Yeah.
There are different kinds of addiction and has a different result and, you know, and yet... Yet they can overlap. So,
I mean, just to be able to look back where I was from a meth addiction and being homeless and going to prison and just completely destroying my life, and to where I am now, I'm so fortunate and blessed to be able to be here today.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy for you. And what was the biggest thing, what was the biggest catalyst for change, do you think?
Letting go of the past.
And I think that's a lot of times, I think, just observing things, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, and a lot of people just can't let go of the past.
Yeah. But part of the past is what has defined me,
right?
Of what I'm doing today,
right? But you know what I mean by letting.
Absolutely, I do. Yes.
And it sounds to me like some of your family has said, "You know what? Let's start over." Is that how it is now?
Yeah, they're my sister, both of my kids.
Nice.
I mean, uncles and aunts, and everybody's real proud of what I'm doing, and they're happy for me.
Well, and you should be proud of what you're doing.
You really should. Yeah.
I can't believe it. It's almost like a dream, because as bad as I was out on the street and had nothing, and to be able to just completely do a 360 and have my life back is just amazing. I can't even put it into words, really.
It's a feeling that comes out on your face.
Yeah.
It really does. I remember you a couple of years ago when you were at the shelter and stuff. We met.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is a complete 180 of the person that I met.
Yeah.
You know, you have a lot more calmness and happiness.
Yeah.
That just like pops out of your face. You know?
So going back to your previous, I'll call it incarnation for lack of a better thing. Did you have a lot of the embedded anger that you had to get rid of?
Lots of it. I had to find a way to diversify that within myself and take that into some proactive stuff like volunteering on the bike trail, volunteering at Sepri, volunteering on Clean Sweep, to keep my mind and emotions in a healthy forum.
And do you think letting go of that anger was probably a key element of helping you become who you are?
Yes, that was a big part of a lot of it is being angry at myself. And, you know, to let that go. And with the accomplishments I've made along the way, that's helped let some of that go.
Oh, that's tremendous.
Did you happen to be involved in any of the 12-step programs?
No, but I've been to OnTract a bunch of times.
Oh, okay.
And okay. I've gotten some tools out of the OnTract.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe there might be a couple of them that I've actually followed through with in a few too. But
yeah.
I'm still working on some things, you know.
Did you take that suggestion and really run with it?
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, because I'm hearing a lot of 12-step stuff, you know, where it's talking about being able to recognize your resentments and let go of the past,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then it gets into your character defects, you know, which is in 6 and 7, and then jumping into 8 and 9 and making amends, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But it's like, that's why I asked, did you do any 12-step? Because that's where I'm hearing
I've done
it.
OnTract,
you know, but you did it through.
I'm just doing it through experience.
Yeah.
That's what I'm speaking from. It's
sweet.
Just
and, yeah.
and a little bit of education, you know. There.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure being in the house with a bunch of other guys, how did that work out for you? I mean, it's like.
Well, I was in prison with 4,000 inmates.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'm there. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
well, you have your own room and you know, you have your own kitchen and all that.
There it is.
Nice.
There is that.
Nice. Did you find it difficult to live in a house, you know, under certain rules and that kind of stuff?
No, I think living under some rules and some structure is very beneficial.
Nice.
If you use it in the right way and do what you're supposed to do in the right steps, it's great to have in it because it's got someone that's on the outside that's structuring you and it's supporting you. It gives you more strength and to be able to prevail and be successful in what you're trying to do and be able to self-sufficient on your own.
So, this is really a big stretch here, but do you think that your experiences in, not that I recommend doing this, but be your experiences in prison helped you more adequately deal with going to Rug Retreat and how you found that because you're able to deal with, I mean, I realize that's a big stretch, but.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It helped me really be in tune with myself and who I am as a person and how I treat people and having patience and more understanding that nothing is going to be perfect.
Because, I mean, I see many people that go in and out of Rogue Retreat like a revolving door. They, you know, they come in, they leave, they come back, and they have the permission to come back a lot of times if they know, you know, if, you know, Rogue Retreat knows that you're really trying to try.
Right.
You know, but I mean, I see it a lot, even where I have, you know, a lot of people, in fact, it's so funny being in Matt's office here, sometimes when the door's open and you hear this, the stuff, I'll just put it that way, that happens, and and then it'll, well, so, you know, things you don't try to keep track of, because I'm not trying to trick, I just, you know, hear what I hear, it's not that I want to, but it's also a good learning tool, because I think one of the best things that ever happened with me here is that when I first started here, because I was working here through a state-sponsored nonprofit called Galt Foundation, and they paid for me to be here for 12 hours a week, and they introduced me to Matt and Chad, and anyway, everything all worked out, and here I'm here now, you know, on a regular basis, not subsidized. But the thing, the reason I mentioned that was the first person I met here, one of the first people, was our friend. Why is his name escaping me?
I don't know.
No, we were just talking about him earlier.
Oh.
I told you the first person I interviewed was.
Oh, Harold.
Harold. There. Yeah. His name escaped. Ooh, this is. And then for good.
I hope he doesn't listen to this.
Well, see, we can edit this out.
We can.
But Harold was one of the first people I met, and it was just an interesting. But I learned a lot from watching him and the way he does things. It just. The way he works with people, and he has so much energy, and it's just really awesome to be able to do that. But anyway,
I've been doing a lot of peer supporting too at the house.
Oh, now talk about that a little bit.
Are you?
You've been peer supporting others?
I peer support others all over town, everywhere I go.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of my favorite things to do. That I figured out about myself.
Have you not had the class people, yet, though?
Yeah.
Making people feel good about themselves.
That's what I was going to ask. So have you taken the class yet?
So here's the thing. Since everybody bringing this and we're putting it on the table. So let's get you signed up for the next class. You know? And because it's like, especially if that's what you kind of want to go to.
I'm natural at it.
And so let's take your natural abilities and let's expound on that, you know?
All right.
And just now that I know, and that's knowing is half the battle, you know?
Right.
But it's like, because that's kind of what I do.
So we talked about your growth earlier, now it's also growth.
Yeah.
So you have a full-time job now?
Yes.
What is it, if you don't mind me asking?
I work at Chevron Gas.
Okay.
Okay. Aren't you like a management?
No, I've been there almost 2 years, and I've never been late or missed a day.
All right.
Nice.
I'm on a mission, and I'm in. Saving that sick day for when something really is wrong, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
I paid off all my fines, too.
Oh, terrific.
And I'm off of parole, too. I got off of parole last summer.
Now, how has that been for you? Did you have a lot of trouble with getting the job because of...
No, I got the job through a case manager that I had here named Justin Hahn.
Oh, yes.
He was my case manager at the house before Greg was. And he had told me about the job and called the lady and got me lined up. And I went over there and I've been there ever since.
Oh, Justin, yes, indeed.
We've got and Chevron and Shell and most of the Colvin Oils and stuff like that. I don't think they call it Colvin Oil anymore.
Andretti Fuel now,
because Mario Andretti.
Oh, we have to have him there.
But so they, they're second chance employers, too.
Yeah.
It's like, and they give you a chance.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's great.
I'm doing really great at work.
Great.
I mean, it's like one of the easiest jobs I've ever had.
Yeah.
I'd hurt my back when I had gotten out of prison before I got into the shelter when I was at the transition center in Talent. Mm-hmm. I hurt my back really bad and because I used to do hard labor all my life. And for me to change up and do something that I always turned away from, it's worked out really great.
I'm glad
I have the job. It's so easy, and I'm not overworking myself to where I'm getting a lot of frustration built up because I'm an addict, so I have to be really careful on certain avenues and ways that I do things so that I can just keep staying, you know, sober, and I don't have to put myself in trigger situations. And there's just a lot going on there. It's a fine line between a lot that I just keep doing the next right thing.
Yeah. Very good. I just want to jump back real quick.
Yeah.
You were talking about peer support, and that's another thing that I really enjoy about Rogue Retreat. It's like most of the people that work for Rogue Retreat have been involved with Rogue Retreat at one time in their life.
Correct.
You know,
I've noticed
and we try to encourage that. You know,
yeah.
I'm just putting a plug in for Rogue Retreat here. But we encourage, you know, people that have been through our program and have succeeded, like you are succeeding, you know, to actually come back to Rogue Retreat as, you know, and work for us and bring other people up, you know, yeah, like and that kind of stuff. And I think that's awesome.
When I get there, if I get that place that I'm pursuing, whatever place it's going to be, I know there's one coming. It's not going to not happen. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen, yeah.
I'm still going to be connected with Rogue Retreat. Right. I'm still going to come down here. I'm still going to be involved with something.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm not going to tie them off.
That's
no, I'm not going to cut them off.
Yeah.
No. After what they've done and supported me.
Yeah.
Even if not, it's just the right thing to do, and it's healthy for me to be involved with the people that are doing healthy things.
Yeah. And that's something that we have to try to promote. Right, Stan?
That's right.
As being of service.
Yes.
Giving back what was so freely given to us.
That would be something that would be real enjoyable and rewarding for me.
Well, when we're done here, I'm going to take you over. I'm going to get you an application for the next class.
All right.
You know what I mean? I think, bam, that's awesome because we don't want to lose you.
Yeah.
You know?
I do a lot of things out there. I peer support people all the time.
Yeah.
I help people out. I give them just like you guys would do for me.
Yeah.
I would do for them. Same thing.
Nice.
And I enjoy doing that.
Nice.
And that probably also helps you to be
able to go. Mm-hmm. It does. When I make someone else feel good about themselves, I can probably feel 10 times better.
Mm-hmm.
It seems. But I'm not doing it for something. I do it because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And it also, yeah. Yeah,
it's just the right thing to do. It's just
the attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. I love that.
For to reflect that onto somebody else.
Yeah.
And you can't buy that.
Right.
Money can't buy that.
What do you think, Stan? Did you got any more questions you'd like to throw out there?
No. Well, I mean, actually, though, I just have to commend him for doing what he's doing. And, you know, I heard a phrase that I like. And one guy, and it had nothing to do with something like this, but he was talking about financial type stuff, and he used to say, stick and stay and make it pay.
There you go.
And, you know, that's really a mantra for life, I think.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of times where a person, no matter what their I hate this word because situation, I just hate that. But I mean, but it's the only word that will fit.
Fit, yeah.
That if you give up on yourself, and it's always in keeping with what we do on this podcast, we always like to see people find hope. And I heard someone say, well, we're hope dealers. We ain't dealing hope.
Used to be a dope dealer, now I'm a hope dealer.
Yeah, yeah. And so, awesome. I just think that sort of fits.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. And you know, it's also important that we're not, I always love this phrase that was once said, we're not nabobs of negativism. And so many people walk around with negativity in their life.
Yeah, they do.
They walk around with negativity in the past or negative about something that happened, something that wasn't done, something that, you know.
I had to cut all that loose.
Oh.
I had to let it all go.
You personally.
And it's also helpful just not to allow yourself to be around those entities. Even if they're really close to you, sometimes you have to say, enough.
Yeah, you have to have healthy boundaries. And it's like, and that's something that I have seen you develop over the years, you know. And it's like, we all need to do that.
Oh, yeah.
At some time or another. So, yeah. And it's like, yeah. I do want to touch base on something that you said about getting your driver's license. So you've been trying to do all this, a lot of this stuff through the COVID. You know, and so.
Oh, and I get brand new teeth.
You get brand new
teeth? My next dentist appointment, I'll have brand new teeth.
Oh, nice. Very good.
I just keep forgetting all the stuff I'm doing. That's how much stuff I've got going on.
Oh, I know. You've got so much going on.
And I really had, I hate that because I was thinking to myself, I said, just because of the way you're vocal intonations were.
Yeah.
I thought, does he have teeth issues? Because I was just
good observation.
You know, I don't want to ask this. Well, but see, a lot of times, and it has been my experience, is that a lot of people who are meth addicts will end up having
bad teeth.
Yeah. Because I guess it rots the teeth out or something.
Oh, yeah. It affects the gums first, you know, and it's the dry mouth that you get, and it lets disease in. And So when you do the peer support, we do a whole thing on oral health.
Oh, okay.
You know, because, that's...
Well, I cleaned my mouth before I came here today. So.
Well, and then I know that you've been working a couple of months about the getting your driver's license back and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And because you have a truck now, you just cannot drive it.
I have 6 months worth of insurance on it, too. I got
And
I did a practice test on the driving, you know, the written, and I missed 4. So I'm ready to go down there.
Okay. Sweet. So... And so maybe next month for Christmas you'll have your driver's license,
brand new teeth, and my new place.
See,
always might as well throw it all in a package deal.
Oh, just like you were talking to Stan, that's some positivity.
Well, there you go. But it wasn't their old Christmas song where it said all for Christmas is my two front teeth.
I'm getting the whole grill.
What is that, 28 or 32? Oh, nice. All I want for Christmas is 32. That's good. That's good stuff. All right.
Okay.
I would like to say thank you very much, Mike, for coming in and doing this. Technically, since Stan has started this up again, I've become his co-host and also
awesome.
And so it's like you're our first victim. how do you feel? Did it work out well for you?
Yeah, it worked out great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, see, I really love this because Scotty and I touched bases. Ooh, this is a while back.
Yeah.
And so when I was approached with Scotty becoming and helping me out with being the co-host, and I said, that is really awesome. I like this. And plus, I don't mind doing things via Zoom, and I do that when I have to. But it's also nice to have that in-person kind of thing.
Yeah.
And... you know, and that's a whole dynamic in and of itself, because I'm sure people, have difficulties dealing with, you know, addiction type issues and not being able to have in person support.
Right. I'm glad I was able to share
and
tell a little bit of my story.
We'll get that out there as quickly as we can. And let me close this down. This concludes the latest episode of the Finding Hope podcast. And I appreciate Mike, who is mysteriously not mentioned his last name. Because
Wilkinson.
Wilkinson. That's right.
I didn't know if you wanted to be anonymous or not. Last name.
Okay. Right. Well, anyway, thank you for being here and considering to do this.
Stop button. An illustration.